Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
It's the Drink Talking with the Thinking Drinkers, Ben McFarland and Tom Sandon, and Mistress of Wine, Sam Capon. All the booze news and views, from absinthe to Zinfandel. The Drinks Cabinet is now open.
Welcome back to another episode of It's the Drink Talking. My name is Sam Capon. I'm the wine expert on the show, and I'm joined by the lovely Tom and Ben.
Hey. Hello, Sam. How are you doing? Sam.
I'm very well. Thanks very much. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. Right. I am pushing straight on today.
Yeah. We haven't got time to waste today.
No.
We're busy people. We're busy lives. Busy, got people to see, things to do.
We all need a drink, so let's get on with it.
Great, let's get on with it. I am doing Spit and Swallow, and I'm starting with my swallow. So, unless you've been under a rock for the last however long, we have an impending royal wedding around the corner. And I've got to say, I'm a huge fan of Meghan Markle.
Really?
I'm a huge fan of her. Probably for different reasons.
Really?
I've got a couple of removed associations with her, so I know someone who knows someone who's been at her best friend's wedding. I know someone who'll be at the wedding, so there you go. Does that excite you?
Not so much. That's a little bit removed.
Yeah.
But I won't be there.
Irrelevant.
Will you be there? Would you go and observe a royal wedding and from
if
the
I was
streets?
Asked, I'm not really into crowds. I don't really like that kind of stuff.
No.
But I think Harry's always come across as a really cool guy, and I think they seem like a great couple and very philanthropic. I think that's the thing that appeals there.
Yeah.
But the thing that they're my swallow, not just that I am a bit of a royalist, I've got to say, is the fact that they might be looking at extending the pub hours
over the weekend or the royal wedding.
So I think, you know what, it's nice to have something to celebrate, something really kind of credible. A love story is an exciting thing. A royal wedding...
But hang on.
The nation likes it, right?
I thought we had 24-hour licensing anyway. I thought that you could open...
Well, you have to apply for it.
You
have to have a proper license for that, don't you? But they're going to give extended hours to anyone who wants to
you're some blood-splattered tanking house that one day is not allowed to open beyond 11... You can go to 1 o'clock.
Hellholes of London will
be. It's a 4 week consultation plan on it to see whether they're going to extend the hours, as they did, in fairness, for Prince William's wedding and the Queen's 90th birthday.
To be fair, though, they are a bit better, aren't they? I mean, William is actually going to be king. I mean, Harry is a bit of a second rate royal, isn't he?
But he's done better in terms of the ladies, I think.
Yeah. Did you see the interview they did when they got engaged?
Yes.
It was quite. I didn't think.
Yeah,
it was
sincere.
Yeah, but
imagine if I sat down and put the camera
on
you
I just
and
meant it was
your
a,
wife.
It was a bit like, staged. It was a bit staged.
Of course it is.
They were cooking a chicken. Do me a favour. They were cooking up a roast chicken. Yeah, we were making a chicken, weren't we? And then he asked me,
intrigued.
Shut up,
I'm
were you? Someone was cooking a chicken for you. Don't give us that nonsense. You had an entire army. My sister once went out with someone who was a servant in Buckingham Palace, and I tell you what, there's a lot of people there who are cooking shit for Harry.
So he's not pulling out the giblets or anything
I don't know. I thought it just felt a bit natural. Well, that's what they wanted you to think.
They don't live a natural life in the real world, but they're trying to, I think.
That's one of the privileges.
Sorry, it's not the real world. In a real world, someone like Meghan Markle would not be going out with a ginger squaddy. I mean, that is really not going to happen.
Look at him.
He's a nice guy.
I'm not saying I fancy him. Okay. I'm saying he can probably cook his own chicken. And I like the fact that he said dinner, not supper.
Why? I like supper.
Supper's
a bit posh.
Bring back.
Bring back dinner. All tea. Is forgiven.
Tea. What you should have said is tea.
Now, one of the things you should be drinking for the royal wedding is, and we tasted it recently, we'll do more on this, called King's Ginger.
Which is
topical. Well, he's not going to be king, but he's in line to be king. And he's Ginger. And it was named after Edward IV, is that right?
Wow, well, you put it out there, Ben. I hope you know.
Whoever the guy was who was a bit of a rogue, he had tattoos. He took the throne after Queen Victoria. He had 20 Daimlers. And he was a real woman's man, and used to lots of infidelity, lots of naughtiness.
Ben, you're totally boycotting.
It sounds like he should be a legend. But also Dubonnet, because that was the Queen Mum's drink, wasn't it? She liked gin and it.
Shut up.
So what? They must drink wine. Or what are they going to drink at the royal wedding? This is the question. Are they going to drink English wines?
I'll tell you what.
You're both taking some amphetamines. Can you just
but the other thing,
jump on this. No, you put it out there.
But anyway,
you want to swallow it.
There's a lot of similarities between Harry and Edward IV / Edward VII. I can't remember. I think it's the
same. Some similarities.
The son of Victoria, in so much as they're a little bit playboy.
Have you seen Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman!
Have you seen the movie?
Apparently it was one of the top grossing films of the year.
No, but just it's about based around the Second World War, and I had to explain to Wolf that it did actually happen. And
what, Wonder Woman?
No.
You're filling it head with nonsense there.
But all I can say is watch it. Okay. Really good.
Yeah,
a lot of female
really
empowering. Very kind of good female role. And she is just so hot.
But on the topic of film, the royal brothers apparently were on the set of the Star Wars and allegedly are in the new Star Wars film as well.
Allegedly, maybe it got cut.
Okay.
I heard the cameos got cut.
If they were in Stormtroopers, they could
be. No, I heard that got cut.
But okay, just go back to what's happening with drinking in a royal wedding.
English sparkling wine.
It's got to be. It's got to be all English.
British.
Well, British.
And
British,
she's American, so I imagine it'd be some Californian wines.
No.
She's coming here. I mean, that's a bit weird.
She can bring some.
Surely they should get married where she's from. Isn't that the tradition? It seems a bit tight.
Again, I think it's a nod to the royal family.
But it's only Windsor, isn't it? Because it's not the real royals.
No. Just their country house.
Anyway, so moving on. That is my swallow.
Good one.
Just royal wedding, bring it on. Lovely weekend and
it's FA
extended
Cup Day as well.
Drinking.
And we'll just, here's an idea, guys.
On.
Let's do a royal special ahead of the week.
We'll
tell them what they should be drinking.
Yes, lovely.
Yeah, so that King's Ginger... I'll tell you more about that and I'll get the name of the king right.
Or get some good English beers. Get some stuff that Prince Charles will be all over with his duchy.
It'll be called the duchy to the left-hand side.
That one, yeah. Okay, what's your spit then,
and
Sam?
And then my spit, well, actually, it's thanks to Ben here. Ben introduced me to the website called...
www.poor
Bar Life.
UK.com.
Where
our friends Simon and Andy wrote that.
Oh, it's very funny. So Ben flicked me a link that was basically
back on the sites
link.
He likes to use.
It's basically a piss take of the trendy trends of barmen and things like the whole terroir, natural wine, biodynamic wine, orange wine.
Basically stuff that tastes like hamsters.
I know where this is going.
Yes, which as you know, I'm very anti kind of these massive trends in wine and jumping on sort of drink bandwagons. And I mean, this was very tongue-in-cheek. It was basically saying you should put Sprite in everything, drink lots of Savvy Blanc, dilute everything with ice.
It's part of a campaign that was started in part by
Gareth Evans and Liam Davey,
who are very, very funny fellas.
And very educated and big
But they've started their campaign called War on
Terroir. Simon Board is what I was going to say.
Well, I think...
good, because no. I mean, they're speaking my language, as
me
we
too.
Know, in terms of my price point and co-op.
But I think you should get in touch with them, because I think having a master of wine behind their campaign will give it some gravitas.
That's great. Yeah. Do it. Obviously, they've gone slightly to a side I'd struggle with, like putting a Sprite in the wine and ice cubes. Some things I discussed before in podcasts that I'm a little anti because it dilutes the flavour, which I'm all about.
But like all campaigns, you need to go extreme and then bring it back to what you really want.
The you want to be an extremist if you really want to make a noise.
The anti-snobbery ethos that they are...
Maybe not.
you know, going against, well, you know, what they're championing, i.e. going against the snobbiness, is something I fully support. So I spit on the snobbiness that they are railing against as well.
Well, it's quite funny because Liam Davies Bar, Bad Sports, is directly opposite.
It's in the old kebab house, isn't
it? Yeah, but it's opposite the...
A posh wine shop. Anyway, so that was...
Sager and Wild.
Sager and Wild.
I've never been. Okay. Lovely. But really nice funky, guys. Yeah, it's no, really a bit too good. Much
but
a
actually, a very new approach to wine. Yeah. Great wines that you don't have to buy by the bottle, you can have them by the glass. Yeah, yeah. So actually demystifying and making it a bit more accessible, which is what they're talking
and
about,
very
democracy
funky,
of wine drinking.
And that's...
The wine world has done a masterful marketing job on us all, and to the point where we all feel out of our depth a bit. And what they're doing is they're just busting those myths. So it's good. More power to
I agree.
Them.
Exactly. So that was my swallow and spit. Spit or swallow. And now we are doing a tasting. Hands up who's doing the tasting today.
It's me.
It's Ben.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to It's the Drink Talking.
I am celebrating... Well, actually, no, I'm not. January's sort of culmination at the end of January, we have Burns Night.
Ooh, 25th.
Yeah. Now, I have a problem with Burns Night. I find it so boring.
Never celebrated it. I've never been to one ever.
Whiskey. I've got to do another whiskey feature.
Oh, but have you ever been to a proper one?
No, never. I've been to one, let alone a proper one.
It's all a little bit sort of...
You say that, however, I'm not going to just contradict you for the sake of it, but remember we did that old mental home...
Dumfries, yeah,
that Burns Night went off the hook.
That was good, but that wasn't a traditional Burns Night. I used to go out with a Scottish girl. We went to a Burns Night, and it was pretty tedious. There's bringing out the haggis. Yeah. There's a lot of earnest poetry. This brings me on to another little thing I have a problem with. Is men who are not that Scottish wearing kilts purely to peacock at some kind of party. Basically, if you're not born in Scotland or you don't have Scottish parents, you shouldn't be wearing a kilt.
It's a dress.
It's a dress. I think it's a good thing.
It's a skirt.
And also,
it's
in this current climate of promiscuity being attacked and, rightly so, people's behaviour. And all the rest of it, though. I mean, not wearing underwear...
Yeah.
I don't think that's
hashtag
a good idea.
Me too.
Yeah. I don't think that's
wise. No.
All you've got to do is get a bit of wind up here and suddenly,
and all of a sudden,
exposure.
Someone from 40 years ago will say there was a gust of wind and I saw his dinky.
And you end up in a court of law and you're having to defend
yourself.
I'm not
going through that again.
I don't think it's fair. It's just not fair.
So anyway.
I hate umbrellas.
Okay,
to meet
that's good.
All right, in a wedding?
No, I was walking here today and some twat in front of me was taking up the whole naffing pavement with her umbrella. And I thought, surely in 2018, someone can come up with well, something better.
Have you ever been to Japan
or
China? I'm not sure which one.
Neither.
I think it's Japan. And they're basically little headbands with a sort of mini umbrella. It's a bit like a lampshade.
Wicked. So that's so less selfish.
It's only going to cover
not
your
in
hair.
My personal space.
I don't care about my hair.
No, it does.
Pants. I don't want my trousers to get damp.
Are you American? You're worried about your pants? Do you mean
my underpants? Because I don't want a damp pair around my bottom. I don't want to get piles.
When was the last time?
Wet pants give you piles.
Sitting on damp things gives you piles.
And cold stones.
And having children.
And you should know, as a grapes expert, you should know all about the roids. Come on. Where's your knowledge?
The old Chalfonts.
You need to know this for your son. This is life. Yeah, life knowledge.
Do not sit down on cold stone walls.
Yeah, damp,
like
cold.
Anyway, Burns Night is boring. And if you actually do any research on Rabbi Burns, the poet, it's the kind of last thing he'd ever want to be involved in because he was a real player. He fathered like 15 children or something like that. He was a massive boozy. He was really bawdy and sort of ballsy Scottish poet. Much, much more interesting than Wordsworth and that. So the idea that we have this pomp and ceremony and this sort of pompous Scottish nonsense, I can't stand it. But anyway.
So what are you
It's a great excuse to drink whiskey, but also he was a big beer drinker. A lot of people don't realise this. And so what I've got for you today is two Scottish beers that have both been aged in whiskey barrels.
I'm going to like these,
a little bit about Scottish brewing is in Fyne-Fettle. There are... How many breweries do you think there are in Scotland, Sam?
22.
Tom?
Oh, I mean, I would suggest that the number has already gone up by five in the last hour. Yeah. They're about 80?
128.
Oh, very much. I was way out.
And they've been brewing there for over 5,000 years. Did you know the original Scottish beers were brewed with apparently hemlock, nightshade, and cow dung? Literally, tastes like shit.
You know what? They throw a lot of crap in beer, don't they?
Hemlock and nightshade is actually poison. They were pretty desperate, weren't they?
But they could have just been some cow dung.
They didn't put cow dung in.
No. How many million barrels of beer were sold in the UK? Scottish barrels.
Oh, man. You're really...
108.3 million.
Okay, let's get through the stats.
Stato.
Can we taste some beer, please, Ben?
Yes. So the first one we're going to try...
Oh, it's very dark.
It's called Harveston Ola Du, which means engine oil.
Now, I'd say that. Ola Dub.
It's D-U-B-H, but this is Scottish.
Harveston, good brewery, Harveston.
Harveston, a very good brewery. Been going... for a lot longer than a lot of the craft brewers. It started by a guy called Ken Brooker in a place called Duller.
This doesn't have cow dung in, though, does it?
It doesn't. No.
Bit but it's sharp, though.
It's very... So this
yeasty,
is...
Yeasty, Marmite.
Almost cheesy.
Delicious, though. Mocha. Taste
yeah,
it.
Yeah, when you
yum.
Get through the first sort of...
Acrid note.
Yeah, so this has been aged in barrels that would have previously held Highland Park whiskey from Orkney for 18 years.
I wouldn't say whiskey on the nose, though, would you, Ben? I'm not getting
I get a bit of cheese.
I get cheese.
Did you say cheese? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
It's sort of sharp and then cheese. It was almost like a soury, cheesy note. But then you get through it, and like you say, you get into the coffee.
It's fantastic.
Is it high alcohol?
Not as high as you think. I don't think it's. It Six. Is 8%.
Well, it's higher than I
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, that's high.
Yeah. But something that's been aged. I mean, obviously, they have to. If you put something in lower ABV into the barrels, it's probably not going to take on as much of the flavour. But this hasn't been aged in whiskey barrels for 18 years. This has been aged in whiskey barrels that have held Highland Park 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Very, very impressive barrels. Probably worth quite a bit of money. I mean,
in terms of
aging any spirit.
And renowned for quite a sherry type. Yeah, and that's where the sherryness comes through as well. Mm. And it's obviously... being brewers, they're surrounded by distilleries as well, and historically they would have aged beers in oak.
Are they based there, or are they based... Because I thought they were
They're based mainland. In called Clackenshire.
Right. On the mainland?
Yeah.
So they're not owned by...
No,
the
funny enough,
the next
beer we're going to taste is from Orkney, but don't actually state what whiskey barrels they aged their beer in.
Okay.
But this is a definite collaboration between Highland Park and Harveston.
That's an amazing collaboration.
It's a very good one. And I'm impressed with that. They have lots of different expressions. This is the top of the range one. Mm. If you like whiskey, it's worth exploring all of these. And unlike some barrel aged, in inverted commas, beers or oak aged beers. Yeah. These are genuinely aged in barrels.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, this is almost quite stouty. That feels
yes,
to me.
Yes, it is a stout. It's right. Oladu is it's Gaelic for engine oil because the guy who started the brewery was a Ford mechanic. So anyway. It's a really lovely velvety. There's lots of chocolate notes in there. There's mocha. It's very complex. Lovely. It goes really well with desserts. We got this from the guys at Beer Hawk.
Right.
www.beerhawk.co.uk, who are a very good online beer retailer. And actually, they were very kind. They said, if any listeners want to go and buy this beer or any other beer on their range, and they put in the code ThinkingDrinkers, either in caps or in lowercase, it doesn't matter. Wow. They're crazy guys.
Out there.
Then they get a 10% discount.
Oh, there we go, listeners.
Oh, well done,
thank
Beer
you
Hawk.
To Beer Hawk.
Not only are we giving you information for your ears, we're giving you discounts.
Yeah, it's a gift that keeps on giving. So you can buy Oladu and all other beers there. So that's that one. And there's a similar one, and this has not been given to us by anyone. This is for my own personal collection. And I do believe this is actually worth quite a lot of money. Ooh. So you guys better like this. You
know, well, I'm familiar with this, so if you want, you can be modest with me.
Whoa.
That's a good
sound. Okay, it's just got a swing top.
Sam's just pointing to a bottle of rum that's just in our room and asking if it's for her.
No, it's not.
It was actually, don't know what it's there. We just
carry
around.
It's for someone else.
It's the Diplomatico Reserva Exclusiva, listeners, which Sam has become infatuated with.
Well, it's my birthday.
Yeah, not yet.
Okay, so this is from the Orkneys, which is kind of like a, what would you say, sort of a bit Hobbit, this Hobbit land.
Yeah,
isn't
there
it?
Are no trees grow there. It's quite an outpost, a northern outpost of the Scottish
and
realm.
And the Orkney Brewery, it's got like, if you look at the logo, it's all a bit kind of...
Well, interesting, they've got... Oh, no, they're stones.
It's
I thought
all
there
a
were
bit
trees,
and
trees on there. I was like,
this
I
is
don't
another
know
very
there,
deeply coloured...
It's another... Dark, stouty porter, dark malts, chocolatey malts.
You're comparing like for like.
Very similar in their approach.
Wow, that is licorice, isn't it, Ben?
Ooh.
My goodness, that was
licorice.
A big that punch of licorice.
This is also like aged in a bottle.
That's incredible. I want some sherbet
drink.
To go with that. Mm. Some no sherbet.
Very cigar-y.
Wow.
That put hairs in your
now,
chest.
Bitter.
But that has been sat in my, I'd say cellar, but it's I don't have a cellar.
Oh.
It's
wine rack.
A wine rack in the kitchen for,
peasant.
I think, for about 4 years. So that's been maturing in a bottle. And it is, again.
Well, eyes are just.
I'll have a pint of that. No,
it is
really
very viscous. It's a, you know, this is.
We got it in whiskey glasses.
And people get
sold.
Very excited about this. It's limited edition.
Crikey. 10% alcohol.
10%. And it's from the Orkneys. And this, I mean, it is a big, big whiskey beer.
Mm. It basically does taste like licorice.
Mm.
So if
it
you
does.
If you like. Flavour licorice, you're in.
If you don't like licorice, you might not like it.
Yeah. While we don't want to talk about the whiskies with Burns and get too clichéd about Burns Night, we're big fans as beer and spirits drinkers, aren't we, Ben, of pairing
yes.
your beers with whiskies. And I would stick...
Yes.
And the beauty of putting something like that next to a single malt whiskey is you start to really appreciate the sweetness and the ageing process of a whiskey and how the wood gives it some sweetness.
And also, you don't want to go too bit, I think... For the Oladu, you'd obviously go for the Highland Park. It would be daft not to. But with something like this, I think you can, for a bit of contrast, go for something a little lighter.
Contrast.
So
is where
that
are you coming from?
Contrast.
Up north now.
Contrast.
Or America.
Boys. So is that something that's quite nice, doing like drinking beer and whiskey together?
Definitely. Boilermaker. Yeah, it's something,
not something
we've
I've
been
done.
Champion for 10 years, really. More, 15. I mean, it's actually
that's
our chosen.
That's what's called, a Boilermaker.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean,
the Boilermaker comes from blue-collar America, Pittsburgh, apparently, being the birthplace of it, where people will come off shift after a long day.
Oh, actually
I'm a
chaser.
Stuff,
having a beer and a whiskey. Wearing boiler suits, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah. Making boilers. But it was big in Scotland as well, in Glasgow. Ockintosh and the whiskey, they promote it because the industrial age of Glasgow. Shipbuilding. When we used to make stuff.
Yeah.
Great days.
Yeah. When we had an empire.
Yeah, and they'd serve up a nice cold beer and a shot of whiskey next to it.
Yeah.
And that's what you do with that, I'd say. Put a nice Orkney single malt next to it.
But if you're doing dry January... Then I think the 25th is
piss off.
Decent enough.
Yeah,
decent
enough,
though. You've done it. And Burns Night is a good opportunity to do it. And Beer Hawk actually do a Scottish beer case of a mixed case with Brewdog and
Iron Brew.
William Brothers.
Iron Brew, no more. No more. No more, have they? I think they've closed the factory, haven't they, or something?
Oh, yeah, but they're still making it. They can't...
They moved it over to Germany.
Oh,
it
was Germany.
Germany.
Einbrew.
Yeah.
Fine Ales is another great Scottish brewer. And they do lots of light stuff if this stuff's too heavy. So there you are. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Really distinctive. Yeah. I can't quite get my head round them, if I'm honest. Like, no. Very flavoursome.
I see why it might
be. They're designed for drinking out of a snifter.
I mean, when would you drink a
whiskey
beer this heavy?
At the end
of digestive.
Yeah. This is not pint drinking territory. No. In any way, I went with a guy years ago with a brewer to a restaurant in Edinburgh, and we tried the whole range of Ulladu, and we had it with creme brulee, which is really nice, which really works. I know it's about 80s, isn't it?
It's very 80s.
Yeah.
I like love
it with
a creme brulee.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love wham bars.
Yeah, I do. Bring them back.
You were watching Blind Date. It's perfect.
Sherbet Dib Dab is what we should be talking about, because that is... That's
I had a wham bar, and it took some of my front tooth out.
Did it?
Yeah.
They are sticky.
They are bloody sticky.
Yeah, I like the way they explode in your mouth. Love them. So zingy, zingy.
Or a drumstick.
I imagine they're full of really good ingredients as well. Yeah. I must get my kids into that.
Yeah. Which means, Tom Sandham,
yes.
You are on next with
a legend of good liquor. Good soundtrack, because I'm going to talk about the Mexicans again. And the Aztecs, I thought it was appropriate. They used to scrape out the agave plant to get the pulp and to get the pulque. But just as they scraped... I will scrape the barrel of the legends.
Are you saying you're running out of legends of liquor, by any chance?
Ben, we've probably got to change this bit on the podcast. Yeah, because my legend is a horse. Yeah, it's a horse. But hey, don't get long-faced about it, Ben. Hey, don't worry.
Is it really a horse?
It is a horse, and I haven't come up with this one off the hoof. boom.
Rain it in.
Come on. Nice. Let's gallop forward with this.
I'm quite intrigued to know where you are actually going with this.
Well, it's a Mexican horse. It's a real horse. It was a real horse. Mm. The horse is a blessed animal in Mexico.
What's the horse called?
Well, we'll get to that, but just to say that the horse is a big part of Mexican culture, a really an important asset during the time of the Mexican revolutions. So this is why they've become upheld as this sort of symbol of freedom and empowerment, and the horse, the trusty steed, is an important part of their culture. Wow. They were written by people like Emiliano Zapata. Have you heard of Zapata? Zapata? Mm-hmm. Zapata at the turn of the 20th century. And their bravery was often recorded in songs, and perhaps the most famous horse of all was a horse called Siete Leguas.
Siete Leguas?
Siete Leguas! And he was owned by a man of the Mexican insurgency called Pancho Villa.
Pancho Villa.
Yeah, so there we go. We've got lots of other legendary people. Interestingly, Zapata did enjoy a drink. Villa did not. So when I tried to find a legend of liquor, I thought, I'll go with Pancho Villa.
He didn't drink.
So dead end.
Naturally, I had to look at the people around him.
Can I suggest that next time you ignore that fact, because no one's going
to
check.
Don't worry, Ben. I've shoehorned drinking to the animal.
Horseshoed
it into the animal. Because the horse that he was on did drink. Maybe. It's true. It was rumoured that the horse was rewarded for his nag nerve with a nip of tequila, even though his owner didn't even drink. It was thought that the tequila emboldened the horse to give them the courage to race into what was almost certain death in a lot of cases, because these were pretty horrific, bloody battles during the revolutions. So he was not only given a little bit to go into the battle, he was also given a little bit in his bucket at the end.
As a reward.
Now, I've only got that one from one source, but it wasn't Wikipedia, so
I'm prepared to need one source.
Villa was a bit of a show-off. He liked to dance. He was pretty good with a gun. He was also a rampant womaniser, and he took... This is good. Listen to this, Ben. You'll like this. He took the ladies he courted through fake wedding ceremonies. Oh, yeah, you ledge. So they all thought they were getting married to him. And, of course, they weren't. It was a fake ceremony. He'd probably
that
get
is,
pulled up on that in this
that
day.
Is,
well, Mick Jagger got away with it.
Yeah.
Who got away with it?
Did he?
Yeah, Mick Jagger.
Did he?
Well, yes, when he got divorced from Jerry Halliwell,
Jerry Halliwell.
The lawyers are all over this story.
What's his wife called?
Jerry Hall.
Jerry Hall. Yeah. So when they got divorced,
now married to Rupert Murdoch,
he managed to prove that their wedding wasn't actually legally binding because it happened in some holiday hotspot, whatever, and he got it annulled.
Well, there we go. Well, I mean, we're not condoning fake weddings to trick women into believing your...
No.
But I'm assuming
you,
yours...
Why would you go through another one?
Yeah. I assume yours was real, Ben. Was it real?
Yeah.
You are actually legally married, as am I. Yeah. You, Sam? Yeah, we're all legally married. Yeah. We're checking.
I signed something. This could happen. What it was.
Yeah. It's a lot of money to throw at something that's not really happening, isn't it? But see, he loved his horses, Via, as well as all of that, being crafty with the wedding stuff.
He was called
the Centaur of the North, apparently, because he was half man, half horse, and likes being the centre of attention.
Come on, very good.
Should have been a bit quicker on that.
And so he gave his horse the tequila because it had a sore throat.
Oh, but surely he wasn't that big, was he? Though he was just
a little horse.
He was just a little horse.
Come on, you were going to finish it if you're going to set it up. Don't expect someone else to take the grief for that shit punchline. Now they wrote songs to them. I've got one of these songs, which was specifically for Siete Legua. Siete Legua e caballo, chi via ma estimambambo. Quando o la silba los trenes, si paraba y relinchaba.
Once again, with feeling.
Beautiful. It's catchy stuff. And my Spanish is going on leaps and bounds. But Siete Leguas was a big cultural horse figure in history, to the point where we now have Siete Leguas tequila. So he has actually given his name to a very good tequila. And the horse still plays a big role in tequila. When it comes to traditional methods of making tequila, the horse would pull around the Tahona stone, which crushes the agave. So the horse has actually made its way into the production of tequila as well. And Siete Leguas, for those who want to know, you can pick up a bottle of that online. I'd go to a specialist store, somewhere like Amethyst or Jerry's Spirit Shop. It's not actually easy to get hold of. You're going to pay about 40 or 50 quid for it, but it is fantastic stuff. 100% agave tequila, and they age it for 24 months in American oak. So it's a really good tequila. So Siete Leguas, a legendary horse who drank tequila. The other thing we have, which I haven't mentioned, of course, is that the farmers used the tequilas. They blew tequila up the horse's nose, didn't they, Ben? We've used that story in our shows before, and it invigorates the horse and makes them more productive. But I didn't know this.
No, but it was donkeys, wasn't it?
Donkeys, predominantly, Ben, wasn't it?
What? An ass.
Definitely up its nose, Ben. Definitely up its nose. There we go. And more material like that can be heard in our shows, which will be starting again in a few weeks.
That'd be the first.
Yeah. But farmers blowing up the nose, I didn't know this. This is an actual thing. It actually gets you closer to the horse. And also it's important if you're a vegetarian, the first thing you do with a horse is blow up its nose, and then it knows that you're a safe person. It has confidence in you.
Really?
Farmers blow, they call it. And interestingly, they say they become jittery if you've just had meat. If you're a carnivore, they know it, and they become a bit more jittery, which must be particularly pertinent if you're French. That's the end of that anecdote.
Well, thanks, Tom. That was definitely the weirdest legend of liquor to date. And
I like the kick in the tail there.
I enjoyed it immensely. Which brings us to the end of today's podcast.
Well, I think that's been one of our best ones.
I really enjoyed that, guys.
Thanks, listeners. A pleasure as always. Until next time. Ciao for now.
Ciao for now. Bye.
This was a Grand Cru podcast from 7 Digital.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.